Grace and peace be yours in abundance, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Early in his letter to the early Christian church, the Apostle Peter refers to his readers as exiles. He used that term to remind his readers that Christians understand day to day that this world, this earth, is not the primary or permanent home of God's elect. Just like the word that came to Ezekiel, whom he was told to eat it, just like the instructions that Jesus gave to the 72 going out in his name in the gospel lesson, Peter's inspired letter was never intended to help his readers, live better lives or understand life in this world as if it were their home. These words we're about to read again from Peter's first letter were intended to help believers, you and me, live in and understand this world as a temporary place, as the exiles that we are, citizens of a much different, much better eternal kingdom to come. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. If the events of our culture in the last few weeks and the events of our congregational life of the last few months have not left you feeling at moments very much an exile in this world, I don't know what else could. So many things that happen, so many perspectives that are shared push us to bend our minds around concepts we've never thought about before, to understand attitudes and perspectives of people we've never encountered before, concepts and events that we struggle to embrace as if they are our own, only they're beyond our experience up until that moment. Anyone who has experienced lengthy moves, and maybe more than once in life, or the upheaval that can occur in family life or in a career, especially if it was without much notice, knows too well the lessons of finding a new normal in life. These life adjustments, these changes of life pattern, perhaps even the hurdle of learning a new dialect, so to speak, a new native local language, can all come together in the struggle to find normal, to be all the evidence someone would need to understand. I'm an exile here, and if I don't get my mind and my heart around becoming more accustomed to this place, to these people, to these things, I will remain an exile for a good long time to come. Pastors, elders, deacons, leaders entrusted with God's flock quickly discover there is a very similar reality experienced when growing to understand that leadership in the Christian church is exceptionally different than any other kind of leadership in the world. Jesus' own leadership was also so counter-cultural, so counter-intuitive. Peter knew this because Peter saw Jesus' own leadership as he is presented to us in the Gospels, often struggling with that style of leadership and Jesus' approach. So Peter acknowledged this as he calls upon the elders of Christian congregations to shepherd God's flock exactly the way that Christ would, following Christ, the chief shepherd, the way he would do it. So explicitly stated in the letter that we read from today, Peter helps everyone else following Christ by following them have in mind that as they carry out their leadership, not only are they exiles, but every single person that is led to follow them and so follow Christ also is an exile. And so Peter bases his encouragement, his instruction, his direction to his fellow elders and leaders on three points of unique authenticity in these verses. He starts with the fact that he was also a fellow elder, pastor, shepherd. And he played those roles not only in his own congregation, but he played those roles significantly in the church at large, really throughout the Holy Christian Church of his day. He does not bring up in these verses the fact that he was authorized, called by Jesus himself to play these roles, but rather he leaves that to us to understand and assume on the basis of the fact of the second piece of authority he has to speak to us the way that he does, that he was an eyewitness of Christ's suffering. And the final point of authority as to why elders and leaders in the church should listen to his direction and encouragement, Peter places it very simply on the fact that he was also a fellow heir of the glory that is to come, the glories of the last day and the eternal life that will follow. So despite being one of the most popular and important leaders of the early Christian church, Peter very humbly and essentially states that he has something to share with his brothers and sisters in leadership amongst the congregation who should listen because, in essence, he's just like them in so many ways. And then Peter really gets to the core of the reasons of motivation regarding everything else that he's instructing them. He tells them, an elder is willing to serve Christ and Christ's people, not for material reasons, not to have some form of power, some measure of influence over or authority over fellow believers. No, shepherds, elders, pastors are eager to serve because they have been led to value the Christian faith and all the many blessings that that faith has brought to their lives. Then Peter adds a dimension that is equally important but often overlooked. Elders desire to serve because they know that a crown of glory awaits them in the future, and that every single person that they will have the privilege of touching with the gospel also has equally a crown of glory being prepared for them by this same Savior that has called them to lead. That is also then a perfect reason to serve their sheep as Christ would serve. And specifically, that means that they follow his word and his will and his example in serving whomever the Lord calls together as the flock they shepherd at any given moment. I have had the blessing, the privilege of being a part of 7 different congregations in my adult life. And in most of those, I've also been counted amongst the leaders that Peter would be addressing in a verse like this. And in those contexts, I've interacted with thousands of Christians, and equally had the privilege and blessing of interacting with men and women who played the roles of pastors and teachers and staff ministers and elders and Sunday school teachers and shepherds and those who administrate other elements of ministry in a congregation. These partners have been both lay and called shepherds, and they come in all shapes and sizes and from as many different backgrounds and life experiences as you could imagine. But the gifts that they have been to the Holy Christian Church have been profound and phenomenal when you look at it from my perspective of looking back over 44 decades, rather, of partnerships in very different places, whether those be local congregations or the parachurch organizations I've had a chance to serve with. I have personally witnessed and been blessed through the eager, faithful service of so many. The impact of Christ-like humble service, willing service of fellow Christians should never be underestimated. And I believe that many of my brothers and sisters who are especially lay leaders, who would qualify as elders or shepherds by the definition used here by Peter, often fail to recognize how powerful the blessing of their perspective and their service truly is in the lives and the ministry of not just their pastors that they serve with, but all the other elders and shepherds, teachers and servants that they serve Christ alongside, and certainly all of the sheep of the congregations that gather where their service touches. My life and so many others have also certainly been blessed by the eager service of the pastors with whom I have served. And I thank God for every fellow elder, every fellow shepherd, every brother and sister in Christ with whom I have served. And I add this reminder to all of us how vitally important it is that everyone who serves, no matter the context, serves as a shepherd or an elder for any of God's people in any context, mirroring Christ, the chief shepherd, in every element of their service. And there really is only one way that that will ever work. They must know Christ better. They must know their Savior better every day of their own lives. They must be students of the Word of the Lord every single day of their lives. They must not only understand what the Word is saying to them, they must also have the ability to see the world in which they live and see the world in which the people that they serve travel on a daily basis and understand how to apply that word to their own lives and the lives of everyone else. And sometimes that leads to pain and difficulty in that relationship between those shepherding, elderly, leading, and those receiving. It's because sometimes that word speaks very clearly God's law in a moment where it's measuring, accusing, correcting any of us, and perhaps at times all of us at the same time. And yet always that word certainly brings to each of us a proclamation of the sweet gospel of God's unconditional love and grace, about God's amazing plan of paying the price for all of our sins and failures. It is that same unconditional commitment, that totally committed love and grace of our Savior God, that will be the motivation for every moment of service. But that motivation also to serve God's way, as Peter defines it here for us in these verses. And that sounds very straightforward. It sounds very clean, very simple, but often it plays out as anything but. Because if our natural penchant of our human hearts comes to equal tension with those who desire to serve the Lord, our hearts so often win with their desire to cloud and to confuse the clear teachings of the Word in some way that will allow us to find some way to personal gain, personal human momentary benefit. The problem is that the Word of God is not really interested in our feelings at any given moment. And yet we live in a world, truly a world culture at the moment, that is absolutely obsessed with feelings. And God is far more interested in our understanding and trusting, factual knowledge about who He is, and how truly accessible He actually is in His Word, and all that He has done for us, and all that He has done to save and bless us. He wants us to know Him so well that when we are following His Word and following those who are guiding us with that Word, that we personally see through His shepherds that He is placing Himself around us and guiding us. And He wants those shepherds to know Him so well, to follow so closely with their work, their guiding and leading of God's people, that it is easily seen, felt, and understood by the sheep as Jesus' own hand clearly working through His Word. Praise God. Praise the Lord of His church that He has blessed this family of believers with faithful shepherds, pastors, teachers, elders, deacons, who have been examples for this flock for a very long time. And pray. Join me in praying that the Lord of the church will bless all those who have shepherded us and our children in the years of the past, who are now taking their leave from our family of believers to take up their service in a new place or to enjoy retirement. Also pray that the Lord of the church will bless our family of believers with new shepherds, new servants, who will also be faithful examples for this flock of the Savior's love. His love for us and His care for us. And be confident. Be confident that the Lord will answer those prayers in a way that the sheep of Faith Lutheran will be fed and led faithfully as we also continue to gather new souls to our fellowship as we take the gospel out into the community that surrounds us. But also pray for discernment, for personal discernment, the guidance of the Holy Spirit in your own mind, your heart, your life, so that you might also be able to understand whether you are a good fit for eager service to Christ and His flock. It does not matter if you are very young with a whole life stretched out in front of you to plan, or you are already in your senior years. It does not matter whether your contemplation might be about full-time ministry as a pastor or a teacher, or it's simply about volunteering to teach Sunday school, or to be a voice in the choir loft, or to help with the shepherding of fellow members, or whether it's administrating some other element of ministry here at Faith. The Lord wants you to hear in these words, as well as the other lessons of the day, a threefold call for action in your daily life. First, to follow Him in His word faithfully in all things. And second, by serving Him, by living what you read and hear from His word, following His will as it's clearly expressed. And then finally, serving others. Perhaps serving others even to the point of playing the role of a shepherd as defined in the Scriptures. Serving because you are eager to share the truth, the love, and the forgiveness that have completely changed your life and made you absolutely certain of your eternal life as well. This world will, and kind of really should, pretty much on a daily basis, make you feel like an exile. Instead of letting that feeling drag you down into a mindset where nothing positive really comes of it, let the words of your God, from lessons such as this one from an elder statesman of the early Christian church, encourage you to lift your eyes to the glorious kingdom of Christ that He has prepared as the future for us all. And let that focus lead you to eager service of your Lord. Perhaps that eager service that follows Christ's example will even become some formal element of leadership, of shepherding amongst Christ's flock. Perhaps hearing the call of your Savior through words like this, you will be a blessing through the word to others. And you will find the tremendous joy in blessing others through following Christ's example, leading Christ's way with His everlasting word. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.